Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Chris Kerr, Flood Defenders. I'm going to skip all the pleasantries, but good morning. I'm going to go straight to the information. Kicking the can down the road, that's going to cost us some money. Matter of fact, right now you got some flooded roads out there in Santa Rosa County. Ain't even had that big of a rain, but...
You ever say one part of something and it's right, and then another part and you're like, ooh, I wish I hadn't said that part. Wasn't even that big of a rain. Here's my guess, okay? Always try to be charitable in your interpretation. Chris Kerb, who is a frequent flyer at the local meetings talking about stormwater-related issues as an advocate for Flood Defenders, an organization that works to enhance the law and protections and make sure that people aren't subject to the effects of floods and stormwater. So Chris is always talking at these meetings, and he is 100% of the time talking about NOAA Atlas 14. We'll get to that in a second. But his comment there is, you know, we have big, a lot of flooding on a lot of these roads, and
had that big of a rain, but
10 inches is a lot. But here's my suspicion. Okay, again, I always want to be generous. I'm guessing that Chris personally didn't see much rain where he lived because it was such a wide disparity between, as you heard from Brad Baker, you know, where he lives in Allentown, nothing, you know, and four miles away with 10 inches, right? So, and that's like, we barely got rained on yesterday where I live, and yet, you know, Jay just got, you know, calling on NOAA to build an ark. I mean, so, you know, that's kind of the level. So, I just think he probably had one experience, and that's why he said that. So, no big deal. But, what he's always advocating for is this NOAA Atlas 14. And this is, as I said, I have been listening to these meetings for years, and Chris is always talking about, I mean, every time he talks about NOAA Atlas 14 to the point where it's like, do I want to listen to Chris's comments or just want to skip him on it? Not because he's wrong. That's not the issue. The issue is when you say the same thing over and over and over, it just starts to get boring. In the last meeting, Kerry Smith had said, look, NOAA Atlas 14, there's only one rain gauge in all of Santa Rosa County, and that's correct. And how can you possibly measure the rainfall in Santa Rosa County at one rain gauge when, for example, South End versus North End is completely different? And if you know the storm systems as they come through, we get a lot of similar patterns, right? And the pattern in Milton is not the pattern in Jay, is not the pattern in Gulf Breeze. That's, like, very understandable, that reaction. So Chris is now reacting to that comment from Kerry at a previous meeting.
You mentioned the other day that... it doesn't rain the same down here in Miami or Tallahassee as it does in Escambia or Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, but he didn't say that. He said North End, South End of Santa Rosa County. So I don't know why the misquote, but okay.
Notice the Zone 1, which y'all use, it has 16 rainfall gauges in Zone 1. It doesn't rain the same over there as it does here. On the backside, that's why you got NOAA rainfall data.
Yeah, but all across the whole panhandle, they're talking about Santa Rosa County because the point is making laws for Santa Rosa County or ordinance for Santa Rosa County. So Bobby Burkett, who was a longtime code enforcement officer for Santa Rosa County and now is a county commissioner, District 1, that's kind of like Pace and northwest of there.
Mr. Kerb, we've all heard NOAA Atlas 14, we have nightmares about it.
It's true.
We had 9 inches of rain in Jay last night. That man right there had to get a ladder to get out of his yard and use his mother's car to get here. You know how much rain I got in Pace? Just enough to wet just the hood of my truck, not even my windshield.
Which is the point, right? You know, these massive disparities in rainfall mean that an average across the whole county or even a point in time at one or at one collection point doesn't tell you enough.
The people in this past year, in November, had the opportunity to vote to give us the funds to bring update our infrastructure with a sales tax. They overwhelmingly said, no, we don't need it. So that tells me that the people are okay with the infrastructure as it is.
Ouch. But, I mean, correct, if the majority of the voters turned down an infrastructure funding model, what they're saying is we don't need it. Right? I mean, that's... these. Not wrong about that. Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commission, District 5.
Mr. Curb, the Noah Atlas 14 diatribe is getting very old because you provided something that shows all of these locations, and there's only one rain gauge in all of Santa Rosa County. So if we were going to use that rain gauge as the judge, we would put some really poor restrictions on South Santa Rosa County and some really odd restrictions on North Santa Rosa County, where Mr. Rao was this morning when he had about a 54-inch gully. They got washed out, and he couldn't get out.
Yeah. So the board has lost its patience with Chris Curb. There's been personal interactions in the past, but this is more of a fact and analysis, you know, assessment where they're just tired of getting harangued over this issue where they think he's wrong about it. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. No issues to report to you. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. John, back to Colton Wright, County Commissioner District 5, talking back to basically Chris Curb, who's in the audience but has had his moment to talk. Flood Defenders representative who's always... really always talking about this Noah Atlas 14 business. So Chris Colton says,
I don't really care about 16 other locations across the panhandle going all the way to past Bay County. It doesn't matter to, but that does not matter to Santa Rosa County. That's the problem. And that's why this isn't a dialogue. I'm just saying that's why.
Chris.
That is why this doesn't work. I want to make sure we do the right thing for Santa Rosa County, but I'm not going to use one location, a one rain gauge, as science. That's not science.
Yeah, and, you know, somebody texted me and says, well, Andrew, there's rain gauges all over. It's not whether there are rain gauges. It's whether they're used in the NOAA Atlas 14 data collection. And they're not, apparently. And again, I'll say this. I don't mind saying it. I don't consider myself an expert in this stuff. So it's possible I get something wrong, but, you know, they sound like they know what they're talking about to the extent I can verify it. I've looked it up. Chris also often sounds like he knows what he's talking about. He's a long time working in this arena. So, you know, trying to figure out who's got the right of it. But it makes sense to me that one collection data point in the middle of Santa Rosa County is not representative of the whole county. And it was proved pretty poignantly yesterday. And it has been proved pretty poignantly in the past, the disparity of impact based on how rain falls. And so anyway, because what you're trying to mitigate against is not the overall rainfall for the year. You're trying to mitigate against particular incidents. You know, and what is a 25-year, 50-year, 100-year flood or, you know, rainfall and that kind of stuff? And, you know, do you need larger retention ponds? Do you not need larger retention ponds? Are the ones that are made in the most recent set of standards that are not at NOAA Atlas 14 standards, are they adequate? Are those the ones that are failing or not? Like, these are all the questions, because the end result of all of this is you have impacts on water quality, you have impacts on flooding in people's homes or on streets, and, you know, stuff that really matters. And this is kind of what they're arguing about at the county commission meeting.
It absolutely echoes my sentiments on so many things in this county. Is that we have a history, and a part of it's the size of the county, but we have a history of having policies and regulations and a land development code and all these rules that apply to the entire county when this county is so diverse. There is no way anyone in their right mind can tell me that Jay is the same as Gulf Breeze, which is the same as Navarre, which is the same as East Milton, which is the same as Munson, which is the same as Milton, and which is the same at Pace. So why do we have regulations to apply the entire county the same way?
Which that makes sense to me. And what, I mean, one of the weird things about Florida, in particular about our area, is, God, the north end and the south end and the west are so different from each other. I mean, Pensacola and, like, you know, Navarre Beach, Pensacola Beach and Navarre Beach are, like, completely different from up around the Florida-Alabama border in both counties. They're totally different worlds with completely different concerns. But in both cases, they're part of the same county. How do you write ordinances for counties that contain that much variety in demographics of population, geography, rainfall, worries about stormwater, wildlife? Like, it's crazy. In fact, I've said it before, but for maybe you haven't heard me say it recently, is if you were trying to create counties today, you would create between 2 and maybe 5 counties out of our 2 counties. I mean, really, you would maybe make Perdido 1 county just because it's sort of geographically separated from Pensacola Beach. But then Pensacola Beach and Navarre Beach would be a county. You know, Pensacola and surrounding environs might be a county. The north end of both counties, Santa Rosa and Escambia, would be a county. And then kind of the more populated areas of like Pace and Milton would be a county. And then like outside the city of Pensacola would be. I mean, like, if you think about it, that would make more sense. Of course, that's not how it works. Anyway, one last comment from Colton, because he's fed up with Chris Kerb about this, you know, haranguing over NOAA Atlas 14.
We can hear about NOAA Atlas 14 all day long, but it goes in one ear and out the other now. And the documentation he showed proves it.
Yeah, so I think what they're hoping to do is to get him to shut up and you know, stop wasting their time is how they feel about it. I don't think he will. But, you know, they're fighting back and saying, we're not going to do this. Plus, as I understand it, there's an update coming later this year, and there's no point in changing the Land Development Code and then having to change it again in, you know, 6 months. Somebody says, Ed writes me that Escambia and Santa Rosa should be turned sideways north of I-10 and south of I-10. Yeah, no, agreed. Like, if I-10 were your border. But even that's a little squishy. But still, yeah, that's exactly right. Is it makes no sense the way these county lines have been drawn. And I totally understand Colton's frustration about trying to legislate for such completely disparate areas. It'd be like if, Florida to New York was a state. You know how California goes from, you know, Mexico all the way up to Oregon, right? Well, comparably, what if Florida through Georgia and South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, all the way up to like New York State? What if we were all one state? First of all, you're horrified. Second of all, how would you make laws for such a state? Well, same problem on a smaller scale, right? That's, I think, what they're getting at here. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you're thinking about getting that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, cars that are gently used, like 1, 2, maybe 3 years young, low miles, great condition, cars that they'll warranty to like 10 years or 100,000 miles. They might have 20 or 30,000 miles on them now. I know the car we bought was a year old with 13,000 miles. It came back off of a lease down in Orlando that went to the dealership that, you know, they basically couldn't sell it 90 days later. They auctioned it, Frontier bought it, and we got a smoking deal on a car. But it's how Frontier does business that's different. I mean, yeah, the selection's great, okay, and the kind of cars they sell are great. But they know you don't like buying a car, and they want you to hate it as little as possible. You might still hate it a little, okay, because it's inconvenient. But the idea is to make it as least annoying as they possibly can. And they do that. And then they follow up afterwards to make sure you're happy because they want to make sure you're happy. They want to over-deliver and under-promise. And they do. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The first of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." This commandment, found in Exodus 20, is startling to most Americans. Our culture has emphasized religious tolerance to an unbiblical and unhealthy extreme. No other gods means that there is only one true God. The implication is that not every religious road leads to heaven. The Bible presents us with one God whose name is Jehovah, and he is seen in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is a loving, holy, powerful God who is our provider, sustainer, creator, and savior. Isaiah tells us that he is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I urge you, take time to worship him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too. By supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hey, it's Gambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. of the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PennAir.org/auto-refi. That's PennAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between April 1st and June 30th, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENN-AIR for complete details.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What do you call 1,000 lawyers buried up to their neck in sand?
What?
Not enough sand.
I could listen to Christopher Walken read a phone book, but when he tells a joke, like in Pool Hall Junkies, it's good. 7:26 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 eastbound just east of the Highway 29 exit right there, we're seeing just a minor 5 to 7 minute delay. Also, Avalon Boulevard going southbound toward I-10 is starting to see about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Vibes.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, speaking of the geographic and demographic distinctives between, say, you know, North Santa Rosa and Escambia County and beach areas and then the in-between areas, somebody texted in and said that he had a hand in drawing the Florida Senate maps back in 2012 that were ultimately struck down by the Florida Supreme Court, but they were drawn basically where, like, Senate District 1 was north of I-10 and District 2 or whatever flip-flop was south of I-10. Which really makes a lot of sense. You know, one person to represent the beach and the high-density areas, one person to represent the farming areas. I understand why they didn't do it, but at the same time, the maps are crazy. I mean, they're really, really crazy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum is urging the Mexican community taking part in the Los Angeles immigration enforcement protests to avoid violence. At a news briefing yesterday, Sheinbaum urged people to stay peaceful. At the same time, she promised her government has an unwavering commitment to the protection and defense of human rights of Mexicans, regardless of their immigration status. Medically assisted suicide in New York could be legal with a signature from their governor, Kathy Hochul. The state Senate there voted 35-27 in favor of the Medical Aid in Dying Act, which would allow a doctor to prescribe life-ending drugs to patients who have 6 months or less to live. And Father's Day is coming up, and people are expected to spend $24 billion on that holiday this year. That would be a record amount, according to the National Retail Federation, up more than 7% from last year. They say 3 out of every 4 people surveyed said they plan to celebrate in some way.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, the LA thing is God, it's really evolved quite a bit from what looked to me like not that big of a deal a couple of days ago to after the National Guard shows up and the more protests. And now it's, you know, fires and people waving Mexican flags and standing on tops of burnt out cars and wearing masks. And, you know, the rules of engagement are very interesting. In fact, you know, the Insurrection Act, which allows the president to deploy federal troops to conduct law enforcement in national emergency, but it's very rare. Okay, the last time it was used was George H.W. Bush in the 92 Rodney King riots. Of course, you know, the more effective response was by the Korean riflemen on the rooftops, right? Like, and we're not at that point, right? That's not happening at this point. I'm very torn on this. I don't like deploying the actual military. National Guard is one thing. Actual military Marines is a different matter. They're only supposed to be defending these federal buildings. But at the same time, there's a part of me that thinks you got one guy in a mask throwing flashbangs and rocks and starting fires standing on top of a burnt out Waymo vehicle waving a Mexican flag amidst the smoke, and you know, one or two of those guys get shot and this whole thing stops. It's a thought.
News. I'm Daria Albinger. LA Mayor Karen Bass doesn't like the way ICE agents are carrying out arrests in her city.
We were told that raids would be to look for violent criminals, people who had warrants. But I don't know how you go from a drug dealer to a Home Depot, to people's workplaces where they're just trying to make a living.
The Trump administration said ICE did what was necessary to make the arrests. California Governor Gavin Newsom suing to stop President Trump from activating the National Guard.
For Gavin Newsom to say that it's the arrival of the Guard that has somehow catalyzed this violence is so offensive when you talk about the incredible people that we have serving in the National Guard.
California Congressman Kevin Kiley, the president, responded by threatening to arrest Newsom. Shooting at a high school in Austria has left several dead, plus the suspect. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 72 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. We'll get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Last week, Florida's Osceola County Sheriff was arrested on charges of racketeering for allegedly running an illegal casino. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson said he knows Sheriff Marcos Lopez. And while that news was surprising, FDLE wouldn't have made the arrest without solid evidence.
Paid the sheriffs very well in Florida, and here you are. You swear to uphold the law, and you're the one at the very top of the organization, and you're breaking it. What an idiot. I mean, I got nothing. And it makes everybody look bad.
And Johnson says that when a sheriff is arrested, it destroys the morale of the entire agency, he says, because of that choice. Deputies in Osceola County will likely face accusations from the public of being crooks, despite doing nothing wrong. Police in Fort Walton Beach say a 36-year-old man was arrested after causing a disturbance outside of a church with a BB gun, and he had three kids in his vehicle when that happened. Police responded to the Destiny Worship Center in Fort Walton Beach on Sunday after security reported a man revving his engine, doing burnouts, and acting erratically. Security officers say when they asked the man to leave the parking lot, he displayed what looked like an AR-15 rifle. Once police got there, though, they say the suspect, Salvador Castro Martinez, was taken into custody without incident. Officers do say there were three toddler-aged kids in the back seat. Castro Martinez is being held in the Okaloosa County Jail with no bond on several charges, including child abuse, aggravated assault, and improper exhibition of a weapon. Now, there have been reports of vendors selling goods like ice cream and other cold treats on Navarre Beach, and well, that's prohibited without a permit, which is generally only available for nonprofits. Apparently, one vendor's found a loophole to that.
This vendor is doing it in this wet sand water area of the beach.
Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker talked with Channel 3, says if they don't catch the vendor making a sale on the dry sand, there isn't a lot that can be done. Governor Ron DeSantis says the ongoing protests in California could drive more residents here to Florida.
I can tell you the people that have flooded into Florida from Minnesota after those BLM riots, from California, from New York City. Yes, we were open during COVID. Yes, we have no state income tax. Yes, we have a lot of things going for us. But the number one reason people would give is public safety, because you've seen officials like that mayor.
And DeSantis was on Fox News yesterday discussing the protests. He says Mayor Karen Bass and California Governor Gavin Newsom are failing their people. He says California will continue losing residents that want to feel safe in their community. DeSantis also says President Trump is enforcing the law of the land, and that's exactly what he was elected to do. Well, those protests are starting to spread from California to other cities across the nation. An anti-ICE protest was held yesterday in Tampa at their city hall, and counter-protesters were also there. Apparently, things did get somewhat physical with protesters and supporters of President Trump pushing and shoving each other at one point. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Just one accident to let you know. With roadblock on Massachusetts Avenue and Mobile Highway, we're seeing delays on Mobile Highway, so just be aware of that. Other than that, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 is starting to see some congestion delays. But other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a chance of some showers and thunderstorms as we head into your afternoon and evening. High today near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Wednesday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping our rain chance around on Thursday with a 60% chance of rain and a high near 89 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 71 degrees right now in Pensacola. 71 also in Gulf Breeze. 70 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Temu and Shein are pivoting to Europe as their business in the U.S. takes a major hit from unfavorable trade policies. However, experts warn that the China-founded budget shopping platforms will meet regulatory scrutiny in the region. Luckin Coffee is set to take its most significant international leap yet, with plans to open a branch in Lower Manhattan. Over time, analysts estimate that Luckin and Coffee will still be cheaper than Starbucks in the U.S., but the gap will be narrower than it is in China. The FDA has approved Merck's shot designed to protect infants from RSV during their first season of the virus. The decision will allow the company to launch the drug, which will be marketed as Influenza, ahead of the RSV season that typically kicks off around fall and winter.
Not all service companies are created equal. Hi, this is Judy Lacey with Barberry Plumbing, and we're proud to say we're a local, family-owned small business serving our community for over 50 years. In 1972, my dad, Louis Barberry, started this company with a vision of providing the best quality service with honesty and integrity for the community. Small businesses are the heart of America, and when you support a locally owned small business, you help to keep your community strong. We are not one of those plumbing franchise companies that will charge you an arm and a leg. At Barberry Plumbing, we always use the flat rate pricing so you know exactly how much the job will cost before the work begins. No franchise fee to pass along. You may not need a plumber today, but when you do, call Pensacola's best plumber, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
License number RF1106-7749.
Welcome to Regeneration Station, where you can get relief from pain, improve mental health and stress reduction, and so much more. The Energy Room features the latest in scalar and biophotonic energy. They also offer cold plunge and sauna therapy. June 21st is Breathwork with Joanne Claypool. And every Friday from 1 to 3 is Friday Matinee. Regeneration Station, where wellness meets innovation. Discover a healthier you naturally on North 9th Avenue across from Winn-Dixie and online at regenerationstation850.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, who has built an entire career developing credibility and capability and law enforcement skills and reputation. And then he meets me on the radio, and you never know.
You chip away at it, David. Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Oh, I put myself through this sometimes.
And well, there's a reason for my comment. We'll talk about it later. The dread I know will build. Let's talk about there was a couple of serious things that happened last week, as often. The shooting at the Valero gas station across from IP on 29. Was it Sunday? Is that when this happened?
That was Saturday night.
Saturday night. Okay.
Well, that's it. We get a call that there was a shooting at the, I think Black Diamond is the name of the club up there. We actually find someone across the street at the gas station there. Individual claims to have been shot in the thigh.
Okay.
In the thigh bone. But investigation looks like it may well have been a self-inflicted injury because we have there's no shell casings. There's no validity to what he's saying. There's no witnesses to it. But we're looking at it, investigating it just in case. But based upon the evidence that we see right now, we're not so sure that he was shot by someone else.
Okay. I don't know this club, the Black Diamonds. Is a dance hall, bar, or something?
I think it's a bar.
Okay. So was he inside when it happened or on the premises, or we don't really know?
Yeah, well, no, the information we're getting from
very
him is sketchy at
okay.
best.
Okay.
We found him across the street with a gunshot wound to the leg.
I got it.
And obviously called an ambulance and they took him to the hospital.
And, you know, it may be worth saying only because I'm emphatic about teaching people the gun laws, as you know. We've talked about this so many times. It is illegal to carry a gun into a bar.
It's also illegal to have a gun if you're a convicted felon.
Oh, there's that also.
So.
Yeah. And he is?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So double whammy.
Yeah. If in fact, he was in possession of a firearm.
Right, right. If it was self-inflicted,
fact, it was
right.
an accidental discharge, he could be in big trouble.
Okay. All right. Cody Gaines, this was body cam video that you guys released of a chase. What happened here?
Well, we had a guy, Cody Gaines, was wanted for domestic violence, strangulation, domestic violence, false imprisonment, and depriving an individual of their communication. So I think he took someone's phone. And so we knew we had warrants, felony, rather serious felony warrants on him. So our warrant section had been looking for him for a while, and they had information he was inside a vehicle. Well, the vehicle was on Davis Highway around the interstate, and our deputies decided that they would try at that point to take him down, to arrest him.
Busy area.
It was.
Very.
But we had information that he kind of knew we were behind him, and we thought that he was going to run. Sure enough, as we get close to him, he gets out of the car and takes off from the car. He's not the driver of the car, mind you, but he gets out of the car, and then he runs over the small median, little concrete median, dodges one car but does not dodge the second car, gets clipped by that car, and loses the
unrelated civilian car, not you guys.
People,
right?
Honest people doing their own driving around.
Yeah.
He gets hit by this car again, loses his shoes, but continues to run, jumps a fence into a retention pond, marshy, swampy type area. We obviously had a number of deputies in the area. We had some canines, did some searching, ultimately found him, with just his face above the water, ended up, fishing him out literally from the pond.
Okay. All right. And did you recover the shoes?
I don't know.
I'm still stuck on he got clipped by a car and knocked out of his shoes.
Yeah.
And so, then after that runs into the marshy retention pond over the fence and gets fished out by the canines.
Yeah, the reason we put the video out is because, first, I'm proud of the actions of the deputies.
Absolutely.
Always catching these people. I think it's important to note that this guy had warrants on him, and our deputies, whether they're out and in uniform patrol, entering calls for service, whether in narcotics, taking down major drug houses, or our warrant section continuously looking for felons on the street. I think it's good for the citizens of Escambia County to know exactly what they're paying for.
Absolutely. I was talking with Michael Kimbrell, the director of the Washburn Center over there on Murphy Lane off of Highway 29 the other day on Friday. He was on for the rep, and he was talking about – I was asking him, has there been an improvement in the situation over there with the neighbors complaining after Beggs Lane got cleared out? A lot of the homeless folks moved up there. And he had said that you guys had positioned a nuisance van, not the undercover van. This is the big old, hey, this is a sheriff's van. There's cameras. We're watching for behavior. And he seemed to be of the opinion that, on the one hand, some of the residents liked that. I assume it was a response to a resident request.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. But he said that it sort of sends a signal of criminalizing all of the homeless. It doesn't seem to make much effect. He's watched people do drug deals right in front of the van. I was going to get your perspective on this. Before we do, let's get John Pickens in here with Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that one accident that happened on Massachusetts Avenue and Mobile Highway. Let's see. Here's a vehicle crash with a roadblock and some delays on Massachusetts, so just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Sheriff Simmons, the nuisance van on Murphy Lane. Again, from a citizen, but value, how long is it going to be there? What are you trying to accomplish? Maybe kind of explain.
Well, I mean, it's easy to complain about things. I will tell you that we got a number of complaints from people that live in that area, that in the businesses around that area, that there was criminal activity taking place, whether it's drug deals, destruction of property, just completely trashing the place.
Yeah.
These are the complaints that we get up practically a daily basis. And so there are times we have certain things that we do. We send our community services people out there, and oftentimes we have to see the event take place. These are misdemeanor crimes. But one of our enforcement efforts is to put these vans up. Sometimes we can put cameras up that are the large mobile cameras. In this case, we use the what we call the surveillance platform, which is a van that is not secretive at all. It's listed on there. We want people to know it's parked legally where anyone could be parked. And we just wanted people to understand that if you decide to commit a crime, we may be watching you in a public area, in a public roadway. Why you'd be concerned about that, unless you're a criminal, I really don't know.
Do you know yet if there's been any arrests, cases made, anything that you've gotten from the surveillance to be able to actually take enforcement action?
No, we haven't made any arrests based upon that van there. I think it's most of the trouble, quite honestly, is when the Washburn Center closes, which is ironic in itself, that it closes and then it forces people it causes people to hang out and congregate just outside the doors.
Right.
And then people complain that we get complaints on these individuals. I don't know, not sure what's going on there inside the center, but I'm assuming that they're trying.
Yeah, and look, we've talked about this before, but I'm very sympathetic to the neighbors' concerns that, I wouldn't want that to be on my street all the time. But at the same time, people milling about on a street is not in and of itself illegal. It's if other activity is going on or if they deface property just being there is not illegal. It's other things that might happen that become criminal acts, right?
Listen, we have more important things to do than concern ourselves with people camping on the sidewalk. So our hope is that they just stop, that they seek the assistance that's available to them. Right here in Escambia County, whether it's at that center or anywhere else, and that they find a resolution, if they're looking for one.
I talked with Sheriff Bob Johnson yesterday about this, but I know you also know, or at least I assume you also know, former Osceola County Sheriff Marcos Lopez, who's been suspended by Governor DeSantis for being involved in a racketeering and gambling ring. Come as a big surprise, I assume?
It was a surprise, yeah. I mean, we weren't best friends. He was elected the same year I was elected, and so we went to what they call New Sheriff School.
Okay.
In Tallahassee. So, we knew each other. We weren't buds or anything. So it was a surprise. I guess the details itself was shocking, just how stupid you could be. We take this job very serious. You swear an oath, and I beyond me how you can do this. You can take that trust, and you basically destroy the credibility of your position, yourself, your family, for what good?
A few bucks, whatever.
Reading some of the details, pretty not well thought out type of a crime. A lot of money involved, and just some stupid moves.
And you wind up besmirching the reputation of not just all law enforcement, but all sheriffs across the state, because you tend to think, well, okay, if it's a domestic case, deputies are people too, okay?
Right.
But to be involved in a legitimate, illegitimate criminal exercise, activity, you think, what in the...
imagine the agency now. Time they go answer a call now, someone's going to look at them with that suspicious eye. Were you involved in this thing that your sheriff was involved in?
Right.
Even I think, how many more people were involved in this thing? That's a normal thing to question. And I think you should be, honestly, you're the sheriff. The people have voted you in.
Mm-hmm.
You owe it to them to set a good example.
And then, you got to deal with the snarky citizens. I mean, if you're a good cop, which most of them I'm sure are, you got to deal with snarky citizens who might wear shirts that say, I don't even play bingo, And I mean,
You make a difficult job even more difficult by the actions that you take. But I do have a little bit of a – so back in the 80s, I was a high school student, Pine Forest High School, and one of my friends
– and football star.
Perhaps. And so I decided to be a career in law enforcement here locally, and a friend of mine decided to join the Florida Highway Patrol.
Okay.
And so we're both in the same graduating class, and we're all talking to each other about which one's better and which one's worse. Fast forward 40-some-odd years, I'm the sheriff of Escambia County, and that friend of mine is now the interim sheriff of Osceola County.
Really?
Yeah, so Chris Blackman is now the interim sheriff in Osceola County. Obviously, the governor appointed him to take I won't even say his name anymore, but former sheriff's name. So I think it's kind of a unique little story.
So unlike the former sheriff, you do know this one pretty good.
I do know this one, yeah. Well, he played baseball. He was on a baseball, pretty good baseball player, actually. And I played the football.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, obviously because we're watching these riots in L.A., protests in L.A., depending on what's going on, it's one or the other. And I'm just kind of curious from a law enforcement perspective. I've never quite had to deal with that recently. We did have some of the race issues back in the day, 40 years ago. But we haven't had to deal with anything quite like that here recently in Escambia County. George Floyd protests were very peaceful by comparison. Good law enforcement. But what are the rules when they throw flashbangs at cops or when they throw rocks at cops? Not lethal, but dangerous.
It's a crime. You cannot throw something, whether it hits them or not, it's assault or it's battery. It's aggravated assault. It could be a deadly missile. It could be anything like that. It could be as simple as resisting an officer.
Mm-hmm.
When they tell you to get out of the road, you can't block a roadway. So these are crimes. So the law enforcement agency themselves need to be prepared to take action. I'm not a fan of just taking it. You're not going to block a roadway here in Escambia County while I'm the sheriff. We'll do whatever we can to remove you. But again, peaceful protests are fine. You can be on a sidewalk. You can request food. You can request money, or you can protest your government or your law enforcement or ISO, whoever you want to protest. But you cross the line whenever you assault or you batter a law enforcement officer.
How would the presence of National Guard or of regular military like Marines, how would that complicate a situation like that for you from a law enforcement perspective?
I guess it'll depend on whether you need them or not. If you need them, might not complicate it at all. You'd be thankful for that. But usually there's some coordination where the law enforcement officers would make arrests. The National Guard doesn't typically make arrests. So you just need them for the backup so that people can't get around you, can't surround you. Because if you watch some of the video, there's a method for making arrests. You isolate people in the crowd, the agitators typically, or the ones that you see throwing or committing the crimes. And then you go forward and you arrest those individuals. Typically, it kind of quells it. And if not, then obviously you rely on the assistance of whoever's assisting. And here in the state of Florida, we have a pretty good relationship with other law enforcement agencies. They can come and help us if we need to. We have Highway Patrol that can come and help if we need them. But we have a field force team. We have a SWAT team. We have the deputies that are on the street.
And the law changed a couple of years ago, right, to allow a more enhanced response to organized protests if they become violent, right?
Yeah, but we were always prepared to clear the streets if need be, and to protect ourselves if need be, and to protect property. Because what you're seeing over there in L.A. is looting and assault on law enforcement officers. It's chaos. And the only way to stop chaos is to stop chaos and to do it sometimes with force, sometimes just with a heavy hand if needed.
Right. Now, a very good I was going to end on something that's kind of fun, but I feel like it's – well, now we have to, I suppose. I want to reveal a secret.
So he mentions it, so he can say, you mentioned it.
I want to reveal a cop secret. Can we reveal a cop secret?
I don't know if it's a secret, but go ahead, Andrew.
Your buttons are fake.
Okay. So everyone's thinking, how in the world? Yes. The uniform shirt that I wear and that our deputies wear has a zipper so that you can
under the buttons, under what look like buttons.
Bulletproof vest and such, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very easy to add or remove if you need to, or to deal with the problem, right? Easy to get in and out of the shirt if you have to.
If you're Clark Kent, yes.
Well, I mean, if you, like you said, bulletproof vest, if you got to put one on.
And you can adjust the straps inside the vest, and sometimes you put, we put paperwork in there. We do a number of different things, but yes. I didn't take the time this morning to button each button. No,
so it's a zipper button down shirt.
It's a uniform.
I feel like I discovered a whole new world of secrets about law enforcement today.
Well, I can't say that everyone wears the ones with the zippers on. It's been 10, 12 years or so that we've had these things.
My whole world has changed.
Yeah, you're going to get one. You want to get a shirt now with a zipper on it.
Yeah. I don't ever wear button-down shirts, but if I have to, I definitely want one that's
a
zipper up.
We're hiring Andrew.
I may not be able to pass a physical. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, a pleasure. And 40 years in law enforcement when it comes to this. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
You take care.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect some congestion delays there. Also, Davis Highway southbound approaching Olive Road is seeing about a 7 to 9 minute congestion delay in that area. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Did I listen to pop music because I was miserable? Or was I miserable because I listened to pop music?
I love that line in High Fidelity where he says, people are always worried about what kids see, violence on TV and all that, but nobody asks a question about them repeatedly listening to thousands of songs about heartbreak and despair.
And bars and all drinking.
Things, right. Yeah. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
A second Chinese scholar at the University of Michigan has now been arrested by the FBI. They're investigating illegal smuggling of biological material to the U.S. The woman is charged with smuggling and lying to federal agents about packages that she sent to the university's professor laboratories from September of 2024 until March of 2025.
Yeah, this is the fungus smuggling case, right? The Fusarium graminearum, which is right. They were doing research on it in China. They brought it in allegedly to do research on it at Michigan, but you know they're not supposed to have it, and it destroys wheat and stuff. I mean, it's like head blight on the wheat. So, yeah, well, big story.
I've always been told you don't want to be caught with illicit fungus.
Well, no, I mean, you know, but if you are, just make sure it's not, you know, wheat-destroying Fusarium germinarium fungus. That's the bad one. From China.
Right. I don't think I want any of it.
I mean, where do you keep it?
Listen on air.